a human one comes in his majesty, and all his angels are with him, he will sit on his majestic throne. All the nations will be gathered in front of him. He will separate them from each other, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right side, but the goats will be put on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you will receive good things from my Father. Inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world began. I was hungry and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in a prison and you visited me. Then those who are righteous will reply to him, Lord, when did you see hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did you see as a stranger come to you, or naked to give you clothes to wear? When did we see you sick in prisons and visit you? Then the king will reply with them, I assure that you have done it for the least of the brothers and sisters of mine. You have done it for me.
When I was in high school, I was a part of a Bible study at my church. It was the Disciple Series. It's an in-depth look at the scriptures, and it spans 8 months. The group I was a part of had some of the most amazing people in it. Every week, I learned so much from the conversations, and the fact that they were willing to let a teenager join them always meant the world to me. Now, the study was facilitated by our associate pastor, who was fresh out of Harvard Divinity, and one night as we chatted, I asked a question that had been perplexing me. Why be Christian? I'd recently come to the realization that I didn't believe in hell as a place that God would send people, so avoiding hell was not a motivator in being Christian. And there were plenty of good people in all sorts of groups and connections that did service projects and outreach to support those in needs. Why not just do that? And so I asked, in all honesty, why be Christian? And my pastor started a conversation that would change my life. She asked me about serving those in need, something she knew was very close to my heart. Why do you help other people? She asked me. Not knowing where the conversation was going, I offered a quick reply, because they need it. So that what? She responded. So that their lives will be better. So that what? So everyone will have what they need. So that what? The reply came again and again. And again and again, every answer I offered, she kept looking at me in all honesty, encouragingly, so that what? I don't remember how long this went on, but I do remember wandering through all sorts of responses, the personal ones, communal ones, altruistic ones, selfish ones. At one point, I think I answered, because Jesus did. It felt like a good, solid answer. And then she asked the same question. So that what? Well, here I was now trying to what? Contemplate the motivations of Jesus? And she kept asking, and I kept answering until I found myself responding with words I had spoken over and over and over again, often without thinking of them. So that God's kingdom would come, that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Me too, she said. And I sat in stunned silence. That was it. That's what made all the difference. That was my so that what. It was my why for all the things I wanted to be a part of and do and believe. That was my so that what. So that God's kingdom would come. God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is my motivation and my purpose to this very day. Why build a home where all belong? Because that's what God's will looks like. That's what God's kingdom looks like. Today, as we conclude our series on words of thanks, I want to reflect on our motivation as a congregation. As we ask you to consider your giving, as we ask you to let us know what your intentions will be to support this congregation's ministry in the year to come, I hope you're asking the question too. Why? Why would I offer this place what I have, what I do, and even more who I am. I mean, there are lots of places to give. You might as well donate to those as well. I mean, Megan and I have our favorite charities. We give lots of places. But why this place? Why support Highlands United Methodist Church? Megan and I ask that question all the time, not from a place of doubt, but to stay clear in our reason. When we fill out our pledge card for $6,500 a year, we ask the question, why this place? Why support Highlands United Methodist Church? Now, while there are countless answers, and I am grateful for your personal reflection and your answer, I believe the plethora of answers point in the same direction. They point to a better world. They point to love, acceptance, justice, and hope. They point to a home where all belong. They point to a world where the divine heart, God's very will, is done. They point to a place where we can see heaven everywhere because we are helping create it. That's why we are here, so that we can be an active part in something as grand as God's will. That vision of an accepting and just world, that's God's will. The relationships and friendships we share together, God's will. The questions we ask, the ideas we explore, God's will. The work to meet the immediate needs of those around us, that is God's will. When you support this congregation, you are enabling God's will to be put into action through all that we do. You make a difference. Those are the words of thanks I want to offer you today. I offer them to you in appreciation, and I offer them to you for your own use. To you and about you, I say, you make a difference. What God does through your giving changes lives. We hear the depth of this reality in our scripture today. It's Jesus thinking about the big picture, a day when God reflects back on the lives of humanity. And we hear God look at humanity and say, thank you. Thank you for feeding me when I was hungry. Thank you for visiting me when I was lonely. Thank you for clothing me. Thank you for welcoming me. And now this confuses those people who are listening. When did we do this for you, God? And God reminds them of the sacred honor that is in each and every person when the reply comes. I assure you that when you have done it for one of the least of my siblings, you have done it for me. Because God is present in and with every single person. When we serve any of them, we are serving God. And on this week of Thanksgiving, let me remind you, God gives thanks for your efforts to bring forth a better world. God is grateful that you are working to build a home where all belong. God is thankful for you because you make a difference in your living every day. And on behalf of the ministries of this congregation that you make happen, on behalf of the work taking place every single day to create a better world where the divine heart, God's will, is brought forth in this world, on behalf of that ministry, allow me to say, thank you. You make a difference. Now, these words, you make a difference, I offer them not only in appreciation for all the ways you make a difference, I also want to offer them to you for your own use, to add to your collection of words of thanks. We've been collecting these words of thanks to help us see the world through a lens of gratitude. Maybe you remember some of them. We opened this month with, I remember you. We talked about what it is to say, this is special. Last week, we were reminded it's important to say, where would I be without you? And today we add the words, you make a difference. I invite you to think about the people in your life who make and have made a difference to you. Whether it's something that happens every day or it was a moment from years ago that still informs who you are, Who are the people that make a difference in your life? Think about it. How might you let them know? Perhaps a note or a card, perhaps a quiet moment simply holding their name and contribution in your heart. You know, one of the greatest ways to show someone they've made a difference to us is by living that difference and showing them and sharing it in our life so they can see it put into action. Give thanks and be grateful. Being grateful. So that what? I don't invite your gratitude simply for courtesy's sake. Being grateful is not performative, it's transformative. Being grateful for those who make a difference makes a difference in us once again. I return to the premise of this entire series, that being grateful helps us see the world in a better way. Using words of thanks regularly trains our brains to look for reasons to be grateful, helping us find needed encouragement in a very difficult year. Being thankful changes individuals. It can even change organizations. Researchers have tracked the success of companies and groups that actively engage in gratitude practices, and they have found them to be healthier organizations and more successful in their mission. Now, that may be news to some of us, but that isn't news to the gospel. It isn't news to the Psalms. It isn't news to the letters of the early church, and it certainly isn't news to Jesus. From the earliest rituals of humanity, from those first instructions, the divine word speaks to humanity. We have been invited to give thanks because God knows offering our thanks makes a difference. So thank you. Thank you for making a difference in our ministry and in our world by being who you are and living the way you do. Amen.